This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning, Metroplex. Good morning to Mikey Bassick. He has been hitting me up over my Deion Sanders take, and we'll discuss it. He checked in on me and Ava yesterday. So thank you, Michael. Thank you, Gavin Spittle.
I figured he was still ranting about Wyatt Langford finishing seventh in AL Rookie of the Year, and he just carried over to text.
I heard about that in crosstalk.
Everybody did. 6 minutes.
11 minutes.
Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, along with Peyton and Caitlin in the back, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Other NFL news yesterday, the blow-up continues in New York as Joe Douglas, the general manager, is gone. Woody Johnson is not waiting till the end of the season. He gone. And the report came out that Woody Johnson sat everyone down and suggested that Aaron Rodgers be benched after week 4. And it sounds like the New York Jets are moving on from Aaron after this year. It's over.
Yeah, and it seemed like we were just wondering, does Aaron want to play another year? Like, that was the only thing that was being factored into the equation of, would he be the quarterback next year? And all of a sudden, the last week or two, it's been more and more the buzz growing of just like, no, this is more about a Jets decision. Do the Jets even want him back? And, man, for it to, that seems really quick after week 4 for Woody Johnson to be like, yeah, this isn't working. Like, because you didn't even see him last year. You were so excited. You've turned over your franchise to him for 2 years, basically, now, where he's run everything. And to get 4 weeks into the season and go, nope, this is not good. We're done.
Cue up. Everyone be on lookout for Bill Belichick audio this week. More shots for Woody Johnson.
Oh, what was the Belichick line during the Manning cast about the Jets where he said, I've been the coach of the Jets twice, never had a loss or something like that?
Yeah. Okay, but what is Rodgers' deal? He's due $23.5 million in 2025.
It's no or it's very little guaranteed money for next year, so they can get out of it pretty easy.
But it's a $49 million dead cap hit.
Which exists regardless. That exists regardless because of the way that the deal was structured.
CBS Sports says, as of now, New York could not outright release or trade him following 2024 without paying an exorbitant price. Cutting or trading him would result in a loss of $25.5 million, or roughly the majority of the Jets' entire projected 2025 salary cap pending additional cuts. He could, however, be designated a post-June 1 cut, which would actually save the Jets $9.5 million against the 25 cap.
Yeah, and this is, apparently things have gotten so just convoluted there, so negative for the regime that was in charge that endorsed Aaron Rodgers, like Joe Douglas. They said the last month Joe Douglas hasn't even had his job, basically. That was one of the reports yesterday, is that he's just kind of been asked to, like, step aside.
That they did not consult him over the Saleh fire.
Yeah.
That's how he knew it was over. And by the way, Jets, a 30-64 record since 2019 under Joe Douglas. It's tied for the third worst record in the NFL after the Panthers. So it's Panthers, Jacksonville, Jets.
This is odd, right? Because they've had a fairly decent roster. They haven't had a quarterback, but they've had a fairly decent roster.
Yeah.
An oversold roster, though. Like, the narrative around them has always been way too... It's been a little... I don't know what the comparison would be, but it's like how... It's felt very much like the media has wanted to puff up the Jets. We had read an article earlier this
year. I mean, we all picked them to be a wild card team.
But that was more of like we needed five in, five out. That, if it was more just a... If that stat didn't exist, I don't know any of us would have picked the Jets. And so the discussion about it was... I can't remember who it was. ESPN or somebody had them as the third best roster in the NFL before the season starts. Like, okay, slow down there, because that's a lot of old players and people that we haven't actually seen click yet.
Yeah, but like their skill position on the offense, pretty decent. Defense, pretty decent. Last, you know, he missed on coaches.
Yeah.
Right? He missed on Saleh. He missed on Rodgers.
Well, the Saleh thing.
Who knows if that was a miss or not, right?
You could say it was too early, but the quarterback did him in.
The quarterback did him in. And then absolutely other quarterbacks did him in, like Zach Wilson. Right, yeah. So he's missed on a couple of quarterbacks. That's enough to get anybody run. But are they going to get a better personnel guy in there, like a GM from a personnel standpoint, to build a? I mean, that's again a good decent roster. Like that's not.
I agree with you.
It's but again, you're judged by wins and losses in this league, and when you miss on your quarterbacks and maybe miss on your coach, you're going to get cooked.
Yeah, not just miss on your quarterbacks, but. You know, make such a drastic commitment to, like, for instance, both times it was like, let's put all our chips out on this guy. Like, they went all in on Aaron Rodgers, and he went all in on Zach Wilson. There was a big, now, obviously, a lot of those quarterbacks in that draft did not hit the way that
right.
you wanted them to, but he went really aggressively in and sacrificed a lot of capital to get both those guys.
Weird story that popped up on my phone yesterday, an ESPN alert that the league is going to be okay with players doing the Trump dance.
Oh.
Moving forward.
What does that look like, Chuck?
It's a wonderful dance, okay? I just sit here and I move my arms and I do a little golf swing too with it because I have very good club head speed.
This is the greatest thing to get me.
I swing. I know you swing.
This is the great. What he did is the greatest thing for me at parties now, because now you can do that if you can't dance, which I cannot, and you can get away with it. You can get away with
exactly.
it. Just say, you can joke your way out of dancing by actually doing that. Although it could start a political fight.
No, yeah. I don't think that's exactly why I think this. Did this even need to be said? Like
no.
yesterday, because it's not a political statement. People are doing it like as whether you like him or dislike him or whatever else. Everybody is doing it just as a bit. It's
I don't know if
you're
dislike
like
people are doing it. Naming the players,
you could be making fun of them, right? You could be making fun of them.
How many times did we get back in the day? Whichever side of the aisle you were on, how many times did you get people who do that? I did not have and do the little thumb thing. Everybody did it, whether you were mocking him or you liked him or whatever else. Same sort of thing. People are just doing that little dance now, either mocking him or because they're doing an homage. And so I didn't know this needed to be said because I don't think this is a support for him at all. I get the political messages. Mimicking a popular viral dance doesn't seem the same thing.
Well, apparently things do need to be said and clarified over Tom Brady's broadcasting role as a partial Vegas owner.
Dude, this is something where I don't know how Tom Brady's going to be able to continue to hold both. It feels like owners are trying to make him like, you either got to be in this field or you got to do your broadcasting, but we are not going to let you do both. As now there is they got league meetings. Jerry referenced them that they were going on yesterday. They had a couple different owners meetings yesterday and into today. And owners apparently are trying to push for, hey, we need some more restrictions on Brady because of that interview that he did with Patrick Mahomes a couple weeks ago, which didn't even get into scheme or anything else. It was just like a personal, here's one guy who's the greatest of all time, interviewing the guy that some people may think take him over. And it was like a personal connection type of interview. And teams are still complaining about this, apparently, and wanting it apparently to be addressed as like, should Tom Brady be allowed to do this?
They're saying that he could gain sensitive information, theoretically giving the Raiders an advantage. The Sports Business Journal had this. And, you know, the finance committee, consisting of NFL owners, are exploring the possibility of hitting him with more restrictions. This is dumb. Like,
he was talking to Caleb Williams for 20 minutes before the Bears game. Is that illegal?
That was about nails, though.
It's got to be. They're saying, like, the restrictions they want can't be one-on-one, can't be at the team facility, but has to be in public, can't be in private. And it's like, okay, you shouldn't have let him be an owner. You shouldn't have ratified him.
Yes.
You know, you knew he was going to do the play-by-play stuff. You knew that. The moment that he did that, you should have said, look, you can't be an owner. But you got to let him do his job.
Well, and it's not the only thing they're complaining about. Apparently, they're also wanting to take on, we want to know, we need to get owner input. Is Tom Brady's status as an ambassador for the Patriots totally appropriate as well, because he's already got ownership stake in another team? So they feel very much, this seems like bitter owners that are upset that Brady held them down for 20 years. Like, oh no, you're in our arena now. We're going to make sure that you feel us.
And this is from Sports Business Journal with the report. Choppy, could we get our Tyson Jake Paul revenge with a lawsuit that some people are thinking about filing after some of the still unverified numbers are coming in on this fight.
Yeah, so this is the biggest fight outside of Vegas from a gate perspective. But is Jake Paul going to get sued for the fight? So his comments after the fight where he was like, you know, did you go easy on Mike at the end? He goes, yeah, I knew I could have knocked him out, right? That comment. He goes, I didn't feel like I needed to knock somebody out who did or hurt somebody who didn't need to be hurt. Well, the moment the state of Texas sanctioned this as a real fight, he didn't have the ability to make the decision.
He didn't have the ability to make the decision?
Of, I don't feel like I needed to knock somebody out who didn't need to be knocked out.
Like, that's throwing a fight, essentially?
Throwing a fight. That's considered point shaving. Or, you know what I mean? Right? That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So, because they took bets on this. Now, some states didn't, right? There were a few states that didn't take bet on this. But a lot of states took bets on this. And when Texas sanctioned this as a real fight, meaning it's not an exhibition, meaning you could take bets on it, you kind of got the expectation is you've got to go all out. And you've got to try to win the fight. And not leave it up to chance, which is the judges. Even though everybody and their mother knew that this was going to be the
mine.
Well, but after about the third round, everybody knew who was going to win this fight.
Yeah.
So it's like a federal crime.
This has zero validity, zero legs. There's no chance. This has less legs than Tyson had. There's no chance of anything coming from
I mean,
this.
They're going to try maybe, but I don't know that anything's going to happen out of it.
Well, that's the Jake Paul side. But then, like, Netflix gets their lawsuit. There's already a class action lawsuit getting thrown at Netflix for
I support
the stream. Now, I don't know how much you're going to be. What are you going to get? The $6.99?
Yeah.
Like, lowest streaming month.
That's like, go have it for one more month free.
It's a guy in Florida named Blue Denton, which just seems like that seems like fitting. Somebody named Blue Denton from a state like Florida suing Netflix, like, I want my $6.99 back. But it's a class action lawsuit with unspecified damages in court. It got filed yesterday saying, I need to get money back because this is breach of contract from Netflix.
The numbers on it, biggest gate for any boxing or MMA event outside of Vegas in U.S. history. Over 72,300 fans attended, brought in $18 million in total revenue. This is coming from Paul's promotions company, by the way. Ninth highest combat sports gate ever in U.S. history. Set a record as the highest grossing gate at AT&T Stadium for a combat sports event. The previous Texas gate record was Canelo against Billy Joe Saunders, 9 million people.
I was there, Sean.
In 2021. And Netflix stock rose 2.8%. So those are the numbers that MVP Promotions is spitting out.
Also, most bet fight ever outside of Vegas.
How did
Netflix, 60 million households?
How did the Netflix stock go up with everybody trashing them?
I know. I was getting ready to bet puts on it, like, that it's going down. Like, no doubt going down.
I mean, Jerry told us yesterday what he compared it to Super Bowl audience almost. The Paul
million?
Tyson fight where he was like, that's as close to, like, he's like, that's as close as anything else has gotten to Super Bowl type numbers for an athletic
event.
Been
a while.
Oh, come on. Be
everything
nice.
You need to know here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan, and your home of the Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway. No reason for you to turn it anywhere else up until 8 o'clock at least, as Bobby has Cowboys post-hut clarity. And all I cared about from Monday Night Football was what Bill Belichick thinks about the Dallas Cowboys. I have all of his thoughts for you for the next coach of America's team. Commercial-free expressway, Justin Timberlake tickets after this.
All right, there's one good thing about your football team right now, and it's not the thing you might expect.
What would I expect?
Exactly, there's nothing. There's nothing.
Right. Sean Salisbury said when he came on here for the Friday preview, what did the Cowboys do well? No one has an answer.
No one has an answer.
Mike Zimmer's doing a decent job since the bye week. Schematically, it's pretty good. He's putting him in a position to succeed. He's doing some different things that are frustrating opposing offenses. Houston had a hell of a time at points of this game trying to figure out the disguised coverages. He did a really good job. Most of the season, Zimmer has not done much.
34-6 Eagles, that was a nice job.
Let's be honest, 20 points of those 40 were scored with the Eagles picking up a cumulative 55 yards. Like, I mean, they were given short fields. There was not much that Dallas's defense could do for 20 of those 34 points. And a lot of it also turns into, okay, when there's a three and out and the defense gets exhausted, there just reaches a point where players are gassed.
Yeah.
And a lot of that felt like it was happening here against Houston at times. I mean, there was a point, we were deep into the fourth quarter, they had allowed essentially 20 points and one of them with a short field. They'd played all right. And Houston was, given the personnel that they have right now, with the injuries and everything else, missing Deron Bland and Jordan Lewis, two of your top three corners. The other guys that they've missed in terms of on their defensive front for a lot of the season. Schematically, he's trying to do as much as he can to make things difficult on opposing teams. And I think it's worked in the last couple weeks, actually, where when we talk about, okay, what changes are you making at the bye week? What tweaks are you doing? Zimmer's defense has looked completely different schematically since they got out of the bye week. He's doing different things every week. And so I'm going to give him credit for he's making them competitive, at least on defense, when they didn't look like it before the bye week.
Okay.
But he ran a lot more. Every week he's doing.
Who has more of a chance next offseason of having a job? Mike McCarthy or Mike Zimmer?
What they've put on tape, Zimmer, by far. Like some other team would. If I don't know if
but
a team
in reality,
would,
next year. Which
Zimmer.
One is?
I don't think there's any chance Mike McCarthy gets another job of any kind. I think McCarthy's done.
Woo!
I just don't know that, like, just A, because of what they put on tape, B, because of what his reputation was leaving Green Bay, and C, how it's going to be doubled down on when he leaves Dallas. When he leaves Dallas, you guys can wait for all the Bleacher Report articles that are coming. There will be another round of those when he leaves Dallas.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And whoa, that's just the reality.
And I'll tell you all this. When McCarthy is gone, that day after show, you have to listen to Bobby Belt. I'm just telling you right now, if you miss that show, you are going to miss all the skeletons in the closet.
Just follow ML Football. You'll see him 3 hours after our show ends as exclusive.
If you're
reporting.
Ever going to just listen to the show one time in your life, that show after, listen, I'm just telling you.
We're going to empty the junk drawer. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But this is Mike Zimmer has actually done some good things. Every week he's tailoring the game plan specifically to the opposing offense in terms of it's not like this is my scheme and we roll with my scheme. Every week they're doing different things. They played a ridiculous amount of quarters coverage, cover four in this game that they have not played all year, which is zone defense of four defensive back, like four defenders back, and then you've got three under defenders, and they did their best to try and take away some of what Stroud wanted to do. They did a good job bringing pressure with four at times, and honestly frustrated CJ Stroud to the point that he had some issues up until it got late. Now, ultimately, you don't have great personnel, so tackling Joe Mixon was a problem at times, and doing different things with Joe Mixon was an issue. But schematically, at least, he was doing different things and has tried different things every week and tried to disguise different things. And I also
that think makes you feel good. I wanted, obviously, for own selfish purposes, for Zimmer to succeed.
And I think also it's...
Although the whole thing obviously overall is a failure.
Yeah, and I also think it's just the reality of you were implementing a new defense and it's very complex, and so these guys have gotten more comfortable with the responsibilities and the communication, and so that's naturally improved. So that's a positive right there, Mike Zimmer. Second.
And missing Bland is something we can never forget for this season.
Well, it's huge. Yeah. I mean,
if
it's
you think Bland, if you think he's actually better than Diggs or the same as Diggs, you're missing your number one corner, mm-hmm. and definitely one of the best number two corners in the league.
I mean, they've missed at various points of the season. They've missed Bland, Lewis recently, Kendricks, Overshown's been banged up at different times, Parsons, Lawrence. Like, they've missed a lot of Nealon's. Guys on defense. Yeah, they've been hit harder on defense with the injuries for most of the season than they have offense. Speaking of offense, Jonathan Mingo.
Boy, he was really good this week.
He's a terrible football player.
Really good.
He's bad.
He is.
Like, I mean, like it stands out watching him run routes how bad he is.
But they were comfortable overpaying for him.
I was getting tweets yesterday that Bobby was not holding back in the 6 a.m. club, but
he was starting to get a little frustrated, I think, yesterday. He liked to pretend like, oh, I like the S show a little bit. What happened?
You were
trying to calm me down a little in the first hour.
Bobby was just on. Here's what happened. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna break it down. Bobby was mad at Peyton.
Uh huh.
Peyton Manning on the Manning cast?
Peyton Russell.
Really?
Peyton Russell.
Mad at Peyton Russell because Peyton didn't come in yesterday.
Oh. Yep.
Well, I have PTO.
Soft.
I said.
Gen Z.
And I said.
Yeah, we heard the snacks.
It's not Peyton's.
That I uploaded.
It's not Peyton's fault. I said blame management.
I'm mad at McDonald's too. They didn't put the egg or the cheese on the McGriddles. They just gave us pancake with sausage. That's why that one ended up in the window over there.
Window?
Yeah, he threw it again. Bobby threw it against the window because Bobby's a child.
Yeah, I did.
He threw a McGriddle against the window.
Yeah, and then Choppy was like, calm down.
Yeah, I was like, just chill out. And then he starts going in.
He
was mad.
No, it was anger. Yeah.
And then he starts going in on McCarthy, and I was like, all right.
Then I started going in on the fan text that was trying to tell me CeeDee Lamb had a freaking awesome game. He had 8 catches for 96 yards. What do you mean he was terrible with his 2-3 drops and his dumb penalties and looking like he wasn't engaged in the game? No, he was bad. And you can box score scout all you want, and have a low standard all you want. Just don't bitch when it gets to 3-7. And so that was the way that was. So see, post.clarity, I don't have to revise my opinion on Lamb because Lamb was not good enough in the game. So there's no clarity on that one. That's the reality.
Definitely star down from other totals on CeeDee Lamb's body language. But Mingo, 4 targets, 0 receptions. Give us his scouting report.
The only one, by the way, of 20 players on either team targeted in this game who didn't have a catch. And he got 4 targets and had no catches. He was absolutely awful running his routes. Just could not do anything to get any separation. Could not finish contested catches. He did not look very good. No, he's got speed.
Is he not refined?
He's not refined.
Is he not physical with his body?
That's the thing, is that he gets, for a guy as big as he is, he doesn't use his size well enough or often enough and gets boxed out of plays and just, he doesn't do anything to get separation. He's a poor technician. At least that's one game. I'm not going to make broad but given what we knew in Carolina and what we saw in this game, he was not good.
It makes Mike Bassick's theory on why the trade happened sound pretty brilliant and dead on. And his theory that Jerry heard all the noise getting destroyed and basically said in the meeting, trade for a receiver now.
Mm-hmm.
Get it. Do it.
But and that one is so weird.
Well, I mean, how many receivers are sitting there out there and available? But
Mike Williams. Amari Cooper.
Well, Amari wasn't coming back here. We all know that. And Amari didn't want to come back, which you know. But that theory makes sense that Jerry's like, I don't care. Just do it. Do it and get it done. Because otherwise, you got to kill Will McClay and the scouting department for what they saw on tape to bring him over here.
Well, and I mean, even still, they did not have him graded as high as he went from Carolina.
They did not have him with a higher draft grade than the Panthers had?
Carolina picked him in the second. They had him graded in the third.
Oh.
And then even after they had him graded in the third and he's played the way that he has, the front office still said to give up a 4.
There's a 1-round difference?
Yeah,
one
which difference. Is not what was put
Holy
on tape.
Crap.
So I don't have any clue what
I have way more of a problem with the Mingo deal and compensation than Lance.
Yeah.
I have way more.
And the Mingo deal's quarterback.
The Mingo deal is going to be a better pick. The Mingo deal will be a better fourth rounder than the one you gave up for Lance.
Yeah, you basically gave up an end of third. On a team that desperately needs cheap rookies.
You knew it, too. When you gave up the Lance deal, you didn't know what that pick was going to be, but you figured you were going to be competitive.
Yes.
You're in the middle of a bad season where you know that fourth round pick is going to be high. You still went, yeah, Jonathan Mingo, he's worth it. You essentially did give up because where you've been in recent years, you essentially did give up the exact round value that you gave him when he was coming out, even after we've seen on tape that he's not good.
Post-Hut Clarity with Bobby Roberto Bell studying in the film room here on The Fan.
Israel Mukwamu was not as good as I hoped. I was hoping that Israel Mukwamu stepping in and playing corner after coming in late for Kalen Carson would have been better than he was in this game. He wasn't awful, but it was just, it wasn't as good as I was hoping. I really like his size, his athleticism. He's really competitive. He's tough. It was a game where he didn't play particularly well. And he was, they toyed with him a little bit at times. And so I was not super high on the way that Israel Mukwamu played. And that was a little bit disappointing because I was hoping that he could kind of finally transitioned into this position of just they've got him full time at corner because they've kind of yo-yoed him a little, had him do some safety stuff, had him do some corner stuff. He wants to be a corner. When he first got picked, he was picked as a guy who had played corner and safety at South Carolina, and Dallas had said, we're playing him at safety, and yet he came out in his post-draft interview and was talking all about how, oh, I'm the best corner in this draft. And so he always wanted to play that spot. He's had good reps there in training camp against CeeDee Lamb. He's had good reps when he's had to step in at games. So this was a big opportunity for him to finally get some real big-time, full-time snaps and match up well with his size against Nico Collins. And in this game, he didn't play well enough, and that was something that was disappointing to me. I will say this. Here's one more positive and the last note that I had coming out of this game. And he's somebody that I gave some praise to last week, and he deserves praise moving forward. Carlos Watkins has been pretty good. Like he's somebody who's – that might be right now in the last few weeks, that might be the most consistent player on the defensive line. He's been a good player for them. And I will give credit right here. Mozzie Smith was not bad. Mozzie Smith played okay in this game, and that's 2 weeks in a row that he's strung together some decent performances. Now, Houston's got one of the worst offensive lines in football right now, and so there's a little bit of where you got to adjust it maybe and ask yourself, is that just the competition that Mozzie's going against? But we've seen pretty frequently, even against bad offensive lines, Mozzie's been bad. So I'll at least give him credit for executing against a poor offensive line. But Carlos Watkins, that's somebody who you could actually defend the run against with him in your defensive line.
My star up, star downs, just because I missed yesterday, I'll run through them real quick. I gave a star up to Cooper Rush's response. He played much better than the week before, but still nothing to like write home about. Not that anyone writes home anymore. Turpin.
Hello, Mata.
Turpin.
Hello, Father.
With the 64-yard. It's sad. He's not going to be the number two weapon coming up for the Commanders game because it does not sound like Jake Ferguson is playing with a concussion. Turpin reached a top speed of 22.36 miles per hour on the touchdown catch. Fastest speed by a ball carrier this season. Fastest play by a Cowboys ball carrier in the next gen era since 2016.
Wow.
And Bill Belichick loves him some Kamate Turpin.
Which is Seth,
wink, wink.
As Seth Walder from ESPN Analytics pointed out, that was the second slant route the Cowboys have had Kevontae Turpin run all year. And he's like, why?
What?
And he's like, why when you have somebody with that speed, Walder's like, why would you not be designing slant routes more often for that guy to get going?
Because we
space?
Need him having contested jump ball catches down the sideline.
It's almost like your play designer doesn't know what he's doing.
They do a lot of screens to him, or at least they try. They need to get him more. They do that CD play. That CD play they run. The end or reverse, I mean, that needs to be more Turpin.
Star up to the other tight ends. Span, Ford, and Schoon. I got to give them co-star ups in replacing Ferguson. I wrote down pass pro question mark because it seemed like Rush had some time that I was not anticipating. And then on the broadcast, they said Micah had 10 pressures. Did he jump out as being disruptive?
He was Micah. Now he wasn't finishing a lot of these ones, obviously, but I mean he was generating pressure. He was moving Stroud off his spot.
With his head up, you know what, too, though.
If this was Houston, like if we were in Houston and we were doing star up, star down, we would be giving a big star up to CJ Stroud for the way that he was maneuvering the pocket. Because his pocket presence is the one area where Stroud still looks like a really young quarterback, and he did a good job stepping up in the pocket, avoiding some of the pressure, because there was a lot of it in this game, and he still managed to avoid it.
My star downs were physicality against Joe Mixon. I told y'all he was going to punish them a battering ram on Friday. Oh, my God. He's
big into battery. Yeah.
I felt for Trayvon Diggs' shoulders, like waking up yesterday morning. Holy crap. Diggs was just a punching bag out there for Mixon.
How embarrassing, though.
At least he tried. He did try.
Yeah, Leslie's proud.
There was no ole there. He did get physical and try to make plays. But how embarrassing is it for Josh Butler? You get called up for the practice squad. You're active for this game. And then Joe Mixon does the too small right in the end zone, right in front of your face after you dive and miss him.
Star down for CD against Stingley. Holy crap, this kid's a stud. Was he a top six pick?
Yeah, he was the third overall pick.
Dude, him against Lamb was impressive. CD had at one point in the game two catches, 19 yards, Stingley interception, drew an offensive pass interference, CeeDee with the two pre-snap penalties, the body language, even though he had a decent box score. But Stingley, that was my takeaway.
Star down to Derek Stingley for doing anything he could to not talk to Slater post-game for our on-field interview. Dude, he was like, PR's like pushing him like, hey, you've got to do this. And he's like literally moving back. He's like, he doesn't like doing TV interviews, I guess.
Oh.
So he'd refuse. Star up to Nico Collins, who did do it and was super respectful and kind when nobody else wanted to hang around and talk on the field.
Star down to Cowboy defensive backs who love playing 6 yards off on third down. I know you gave Zimmer.
On third and four.
Holy crap. Holy crap. And then star down Tyler Guyton. You're not Tony Dorsett. Stop. And, oh, yeah. Star down to Bobby's guy, too. Ashley has termed him the turnsteel. And I love that. Terrence Steele. I'm done. That's enough.
It's bad.
Guyton can go to right tackle. Awesome Richards, who I thought was just taking over for Guyton after, you know, Herschel ended up fumbling. It was a shoulder injury, but it's enough. Bye-bye, Bobby. Sorry.
So a couple things. One, Steele, for the majority of the snaps, when you talk about dropping back 60 times, I think he gave up 4 pressures. Like, it was bad. On a couple reps were really bad, but the overall totality of the game, I did not think he was terrible in pass protection.
Okay.
The second aspect of this is you just gave the star down for the Tyler Guyton grabbing the ball and running. You defend your position, Chop. Choppy is saying he had no problem with it.
He's trying to make a play.
He said they all do it. Choppy says there's never been a lineman in the history of football who has not tried to Heisman his way through when he picks up the ball.
When you get the ball that just drops in your hands off somebody's back, like most guys just try to run with it.
There's no defense for it.
It is. I mean, you're an athlete. You're making a play. You're trying to make a play.
No, you're an uncoordinated ball carrier and handler. And you just had film and tape of Terrence Steele the week before. There's your teaching moment. And this football team and coaching staff or player, I'll blame Guyton. In that moment, you sit there and you fall on the football. I've seen plenty of other linemen do it. So, no, you're wrong about it.
You fall on the ball when it's on the ground. This ball wasn't on the ground. This ball went right into his hands. It was off somebody's back. That's why if it was on the ground, I totally agree with you. Fall on it. But when you catch it in midair, it's like that's your first instinct is a run. You're an athlete. You're trying to make a play.
It was in the air like a tip pick would be?
Yeah. He didn't get it off the ground.
Okay.
Right? The ball was off the back.
But it was a fumble.
Okay.
Oh, it doesn't matter if it was a fumble or not. The ball's behind him
I do think there's a difference. I agree with you on that ball.
If it was on the ground, fall on it, right? Yeah. But it came off the offensive lineman's back. It's like it went over his head.
I got to go look at that again because I don't remember. But I would agree with that difference.
Yeah, so that to me was like, that's why.
We've got some fun news that just came down. It's small news, but still. Shador Sanders will be here in North Texas on January 30th. He just accepted his invite to the Shrine Bowl, so he'll be performing in front of Cowboy Scouts.
East-West Shrine Bowl? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, baby. Just like Belichick, who was here last week, according to Adam Schefter. Let me look at this Guyton play.
Looking at houses?
Yeah, that is different. I agree with you on that.
But you go down regardless. Once the ball's in your hand, you don't try to stiff arm people to get...
The stiff arm. I could have done without the stiff arm. Yeah. Right?
He thinks he's Desmond Howard
out here. And just run and fall forward like 4 or 5 yards.
So, I wanted just to watch Belichick during this game for two reasons. Number one, is there this absolute football genius that no one else is capable of and how much that could help the Dallas Cowboys next year? And number two, would he give away any hints? Because he has thrashed the New York Jets. He has killed the Atlanta Falcons. He is more than willing to take shots at people. And I'm like, all right, those people are out in terms of hiring him because he's killing them and he wouldn't even want to go work for them. Would he give away any love? Because he has this great relationship with Jerry and Steven. Here's what I wrote down for my Bill Belichick Manning Cast notes. And he spoke last week in DFW, apparently. That's why he was apparently here. Early on in this game, he just said, forget the run game. Nothing but quick passes. I think you saw that with Cooper Rush's pass attempts that some people tried to criticize afterwards. Why'd you just give up on the run? Well, early on in this game, like there was nothing. Peyton Manning was a little bit critical of CeeDee Lamb, actually, while I was listening to Belichick. He needed to get deeper on the interception. It was bad luck for Cooper Rush. Peyton talking about the soft coverage of Trayvon Diggs and the Cowboys D-backs on third and threes. But back to Bill, he said all year they've had a problem with play action. The linebackers don't match the routes in man or over on those crossing routes either. So all year long, play action has been a problem defensively. He said the Cowboys' defensive system is gap cancellation. They're going to run sideways on outside plays. That leaves room for the running back to cut it up. He thought Mixon, that was a good fit for him. It ended up being true. He called Mixon on a run, on that touchdown run outside. He's like, Mixon, that they're audibling here to him running outside. He did. Called out the Cowboys' lack of tackling all year long. He said that San Francisco, they played Belichick beating the Barry Switzer Cowboys, that old Cleveland Browns highlight. He said San Fran sent a $500. It was the greatest food basket he had ever seen in his entire life. The 49ers sent that to Cleveland if fed everyone with seafood, all the San Francisco delicacies for an entire week, because that gave the 49ers home field advantage.
Antonio Langham.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, he had a pick in that game.
He gave Lamb leadership credit for stepping up. He said he stepped up and played tonight. And Peyton Manning said, tell Troy Aikman that, in terms of giving CeeDee Lamb some credit. So that was a little side swipe towards Aikman, or just an Aikman reference. On Jerry World with the sheet metal and the sun, he said when he was coaching here, I told all my guys, that thing is really distracting, that big screen up top. Really, really distracting. Look on the field. So maybe Bill doesn't take the Cowboy job because of the big screen up top. How would you defend Micah Parsons? He said outside chip. They do a good job of stunting him and moving him around. He said the old stadium, talking about that old Browns-Cowboys win. He was talking about the old stadium because you guys were comparing the light sun issues. He said it wasn't the glare. It was the contrast of light and dark at the old stadium. Okay, he said it made it impossible to watch film.
I could see that. Yeah. Because you're it's like you're in the sun, but everything else is in the dark, or vice versa, and it changes the way you look at things.
Said the Cowboys do a nice job of moving CeeDee Lamb around. Hard to double. Need to play cover one against them and him. He did give personnel props to Steven and Jerry. On his all Belichick team on YouTube, it was like Cowboys love everywhere. With Brandon Aubrey, who's he's in love with, and he was loving Kevontae Turpin. He's like, and they built their special teams cheaply. But when it comes to giving away hints of loving Jerry and Steven, or like, oh, I could see myself working there, I got none of that. And in fact, while watching it, I was like, it's ruining some of my Belichick fanfare and love, because I'm like, this guy, he's so miserable. I don't know how you could have an enjoyable conversation with the guy, especially these guys, Micah and Diggs, who I don't know if they're just going to blindly buy in, or any younger stars these days. I feel like Mike Vrabel is that nice fit in between of younger guy, played, hard nose, but not Belichick. Like, I'm moving off of it. I just don't know how he would get along with people. He's so
very dry. Very dry.
He's so miserable. Troy Aikman on a Cowboys route concept, kind of, I don't know what's happening over there. Troy said Mike McCarthy told them, Cooper Rush, in order to win this game, we can't have him throw it 40 times. That got lit on fire. Aikman was saying only Texans fans were left at the end of the game. He needed a cocktail in the third quarter of this game. And those were my notes, trying to see if Bill Belichick was loving the Dallas Cowboys or not. I got none of it, but I didn't get any real true Falcon or Jets type insults.
It was so loud walking onto the field as time expired, because it was you're talking about like 30,000 Texan fans hanging around and just going nuts when time expired. It was like, it sounded like the way it does when we walk on the field after a Cowboys win. It was loud.
I mean, look, they had a lot of people dressed as seats. The towels never moved in some of those. There's a lot of empty seats there, and then a lot of Texan fans there. And that should be the worst possible case scenario for Jerry Jones. The worst thing he sees is, you know, he probably is okay with seeing other teams' fans here because they're still sold seats. The empty seats is the problem. But I guess they're sold anyway. They're just not resold.
Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on, and putting up with us during the expressway.
Don't be so. All right. right, Tolos, right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Justin Timberlake on Friday, December 6th at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, commercial-free expressway every day at this time here on DFW Sports Station around the NFL Power Rankings at 8 o'clock. But let's chop it up with some play-by-play of college football.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
So Saturday, Bobby and I went to Stephenville, Texas.
God's country.
God's country for Tarleton State against ACU. I guess they don't call themselves Abilene Christian much anymore. They just call themselves ACU.
I call them AC who?
Okay. So
the land of Ubers, I heard.
The land of Ubers. There were no Ubers. Well, there were two. One Byron got. The other Uber driver was at the bar. And that's why we
didn't
use
him. That's not a joke either.
That's not a joke. The bar owner was like, yeah, dude. Or not the bar, but the bartender was like, you don't want to use the Lyft driver. And we're like, why not? He goes, because he's right there.
And he's there for hours.
6 hours. So I was like, all right, cool. I guess I'm finding a way to drive home. So shout out to everyone in Stephenville and Tarleton State. Fantastic setup. The Bull Nettle Bar court, the Tolo. Great spot. But we got to talk about the game and the play-by-play that Bobby and I did or did not do.
Wow.
Now, I prepared nothing for this, okay?
Absolutely nothing.
But I'm not there to give my football expertise. I'm there to crack jokes.
You're Dennis Miller.
I'm Dennis Miller.
Kornheiser.
Bobby, you know, he wants to be, he's a wannabe Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to be, right? Mm. So I was just there as Dennis Miller. So we'll start off with that. Now, they did, Byron is the play-by-play guy, and he did make a crack at you, but it's a little bit longer of a clip, and I wonder if we should save that for when we have more time.
All right, so, we can save it, give me more time to come up with my comeback.
So Peyton, we'll
once
just start.
I go do a whole full family search history on Byron.
Peyton, we'll just start at number 20 here, and just roll them down. So this is right at the beginning of the game. Now, you got to know, in the beginning of the game, they've got, you know, when they run through their tee or whatever, like a horse is leading them out on the field.
Oh.
Okay, so a horse is throwing them out on the field.
Like Brian Kelly bringing the tiger out.
Absolutely.
They got the horse and the Proud Boys running them out.
They're not the Proud Boys.
What are they?
The Plow Boys.
Plow Boys. That's what they're called.
They said the whores and the Proud Boys. Bobby, shut up.
This is
RJ's time.
I had to get my first joke in. I got it in quite early.
All right, RJ Choppy comes in as well. The Texans send the Cams kickoff out of the back of the end zone as the First Financial Bank first quarter about set to start. RJ, ACU will get the ball first. You tell me about some leadership things that they need to do.
I'm going to tell you here. All right, this game's already starting off on the right. They've got the Sooner Schooner, and then Florida State and USC, they all run a horse onto the field.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wonder how many games have started or been delayed because the horse went to the restroom on the field. I don't know. Didn't happen here. That's got to be in the win column. That's good luck, good fortune already for Tarleton State.
All right.
That's about the extent of the expertise I had.
Observational comedy. Yeah.
Observational comedy, because I had a big bag of nothing for this game. But I did try to work in some football knowledge of mine that I may have had.
Cross motion, now hand it off back the other side. Coming through with a little bit of room, breaking one tackle, and now falling past the 30 out to the 32-yard line. Bam Smith on the tackle on the carry. Sam Hicks, who leads this Wildcats team in rushing with 139 carries and 849 yards.
We had a run on second and 10. Scott Linehan is running the offense tonight for Abilene Christian.
All right, this is Choppy's plan of attack, just to talk about analytic observations.
Yeah.
Are you going to run on first? There you go. You got material. Are you going to run on second and 10? There's your material.
And listen, that was my go-to.
Yep.
Because on the very next play, I basically hit him with the same thing.
Yeah, Sam Hicks is a really good running back, and he used that. The offensive line did a great job up front blocking. And not only was it good blocking up front, but his receivers downfield did a really good job of blocking, and Tarleton just could not get around them. And once Sam Hicks got to the outside, boy, he was so fast. He got down there really quick.
All right,
Tarleton
stop.
Just quick.
That right there is supposed to be RJ's job. So here's Byron doing the play-by-play, and then he's like giving the analysis of the play.
Well, that was a three-man booth.
It was a three-man booth.
That's their full-time analyst.
Oh, that was the analyst.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kyle, so that's Kyle, their full-time
analyst. That's where the whole thing got Like, I didn't want to step on him.
Right, right.
Bobby didn't care. Bobby right. stepped all over that dude. That dude didn't even speak in the second half.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm not going to take your... I'm an addition.
Yeah. It's I'm like just, you guys I, being excited for the Jerry interview yesterday. Bobby yeah. gets his moments.
Yeah.
No one's undervalued.
Oh, right, absolutely. So just pick it up where we were so we don't have to play the whole thing again.
And once Sam Hicks got to the outside, boy, he was so fast. He got down there really quick. Carlton was just quick enough to get him knocked out of bounds.
I think I figured out the ACU offense. MacGyver's going to throw a nice pass on first down. The receiver's going to drop it, and they're going to run it on second and 10.
Okay. All right.
By the way.
So it's like Choppy on the morning show. Just rely on the analytics.
That's a major miss on Maverick MacGyver's parents not naming their kid Angus. That's MacGyver's
real name. Was that MacGyver's real name?
Is it?
Angus MacGyver. Big time miss.
Okay.
If your last name is MacGyver, you have to have that kid.
Well, his is MacIver, but yeah.
It's the same thing, Bobby. Now, what do they teach you in radio? The microphone is always...
on.
On.
Uh-oh.
I missed that part of school.
25 minutes to go. I don't know how many more drop-ins I have.
Welcome back. As we were speaking before, to be our first down and goal.
There was so much panic when we heard he was talking. We're the sweet.
So this was like mic on. You're on air, or someone like put your mic on, or you didn't turn your mic on.
No, mics are always on.
They didn't have. It was somebody back at the control center that's supposed to bring us up and down. We didn't have a mic on and mic off button.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like a Dallas Cowboys draft show.
Right.
Right. Let me hear it one more time.
25 minutes to go. I don't know how many more drop-ins I have.
How many more what I have?
Drop-ins.
Drop-ins
like,
I have.
Like, you know, just random
right.
bits of comedy. I mean, I'm running out of material here.
Yeah.
But I don't have a whole lot to go on.
And you were just going to do a half.
And I was just going to do a half. We still had 25 minutes to go. Okay. I had exhausted all my jokes
yes.
at this point. So what I had to do is, you know, you got to, I mean, I guess that I had to, you'll bring up, we'll go here to 27, Peyton. I had to take a shot at one Bobby Roberto Bell.
We have RJ Choppy now, who's doing the fist pump to some of his great New Jersey music. But in the second half, it'll be Bobby Belt on with us. Any thoughts on what Bobby's going to bring to the broadcast later?
Yeah, Bobby's going to bring about the same thing he brings to our broadcast, which is absolutely nothing.
Oh, wow.
Woo!
Yeah. Were they playing the Jersey Shore song in the stadium?
No, they were playing Satisfaction.
Oh, the Stones.
No. The one that Chiafalo and that plays during you know, the NBA coverage or whatever. That.
Oh, they're
oh, okay.
This.
Yeah. This is fist pump worthy.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, part one, RJ and Bobby Bell calling college football. We'll do part two at 9:20 this morning here on Sean and RJ. We need your power rankings, 1 through 5, 5 through 1. Who won last week? How much farther have the Cowboys fallen? And do we all have the exact same 5 for the first time ever? NFL power rankings on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line is next.